Hey, hello, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 38. Psalm 38, a psalm of David for a memorial. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, and chasten me not in thy burning anger. For thine arrows have sunk deep into me, and thy hand has pressed down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my folly. I am bent over and greatly bowed down. I go mourning all day long, for my loins are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am benumbed and badly crushed. I groan because of the agitation of my heart. Lord, all my desires before thee, and my sighing is not hidden from thee. My heart throbs, my strength fails me, and the light of my eyes, even that has gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Those who seek my life lay snares for me, and those who seek to injure me have threatened destruction, and they devise treachery all day long. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear. I am like a dumb man who does not open his mouth. Yes, I am like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth are no arguments. For I hope in thee, O Lord. Thou wilt answer, O Lord my God. For I said, may they not rejoice over me, who when my foot slips would magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I confess my iniquity, I am full of anxiety because of my sin. But my enemies are vigorous and strong, and many are those who hate me wrongfully. And those who repay evil for good, they oppose me because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord, O my God, do not be afar from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Amen. Psalm 38 it's called the Psalm of David, a memorial, but it's a psalm of repentance. It's a psalm of a deep, deep sorrow. And there's another psalm very similar like this. It's actually Psalm 70. And so they're probably written maybe around the same time or same situation. We don't actually know exactly what the situation is. You know, like some psalms were quite clear when David is repenting of something. But this one, there's really no historical reference that we can understand. But this is a psalm of deep sorrow for sin, but it's also a psalm of giving glory to God because of what sin does to a person and how God deals with that sin. And so the first thing you'll see is that we know that David, he did something. Again, we don't know what he did, but he's really talking. Remember, this is a song, okay? So he's singing this, but he's really talking about something that he's done, but now the effect that it's had on him. And so he's really crying out to God and asking for mercy in this way. And David understands that everything that he's going through, like the stuff that he's feeling, you know, he's talking about his eyes can't see, his head, everything seems all kind of jumbled up and confused around him. And he's basically saying, I deserve all this because of my sin. In other words, I give glory to God, not that these things are happening to me out of nowhere. It's not like God is judging me or these things. He's saying simply, like, I did this. And so this is the wages of my sin, in essence. And we see how he kind of lays these things out. So it starts off, Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, and chasten me not in thy burning anger. For thine arrows have sunk deep into me, and thy hand is pressed down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my folly. And so David is making sure that what's happening to him is because of what he's done. This is not, you know, God randomly choosing him to discipline him. No, he's saying because of what I've done, because of my folly, this is the effect that it has on me. And really, the idea in this psalm is the heavy burden of sin, the heavy weight of sin. And if you've ever really been convicted of sin in this way, if you've ever really had that idea and that heart, you could see how much it really, really weighs on you and the effect that it has. I'll tell you a story. I actually didn't commit a sin, but I dreamed about it. And even in my dream, it was so powerful that I felt a lot of these things happening. And it was years ago, and I had this dream. And in this dream, I was actually unfaithful to my wife. This is a dream. Again, it didn't happen in real life. It was a dream. And I remember I woke up in the middle of the night because it seemed so real. I remember walking to the living room, and I just remember getting on my knees and just praying because the effect of it was so powerful. You know, and I just thought in my dream, I had a moment where I had to sit down with my four kids and basically tell them, you guys can't go to school anymore. You know, I lost my job. We have to move out of our house. You know, all these different things because of my sin. And I just felt the weight of it. I literally remember I jumped out of bed. First of all, I was relieved that it was a dream. I jumped out of bed. I went straight to the living room. I got on my knees and I just started praying. And I started praying over my kids. I started praying over my wife, and you know, all these things. It was such a crazy experience. And I remember, you know, the heart feels heavy, right? You feel the weight. You can't think. All these things that David is describing here. There's no soundness in my flesh. You know, your body feels weak and paralyzed. There's so many things in this, and he says this is what happens when we open ourselves up to sin. When we enter into that space, you know, out of, like he says, out of the folly, this heavy burden comes upon us. You know, it goes over our head, which means, you know, you can't think straight. And you see all the weight of all this happening. And David, he's reflecting on this. He's reflecting. Now, obviously, this is a real sin that he did. We don't know, again, what it is, but he's saying this has an effect on me. And you know, I'll just say that the relationship between our body and our spirit is such a connected relationship that we cannot bypass this in our life. You know, even certain illnesses that we may have could very well be connected to sin. And we need to be very, very aware of this. And it could also be demonic oppression in that same way. But he's making this connection about what's happening to him. You know, this is what I did. And then this is the effect that it's had on me, my body, my mind, my soul, all these different things. And so he continues on. Verse 6, I am bent over and greatly bowed down. So what happened? The sin has humbled him in this place. I go mourning all day long. My loins are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. Again, this connection with the body and the spirit. I am benumbed and badly crushed. I groan because of the agitation of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee. This actually is an amazing statement because, I mean, so let's first off, he says he starts off Adonai, which means master. And he's saying, God, my master, all my desire is before thee. See, when we sin, very much like Adam and Eve, usually our first instinct is to hide. And we want to just hide, we want to seclude, we want to get away from the presence of the Lord. And David here actually does the exact opposite. He says, Lord, master, you know, the Adonai, master, he says, my desire is before. In other words, Lord, everything is laid out here before you. Like, I'm not hiding from you, you know, and my sighing is not hidden from thee. And he's basically telling him, I'm here. You know all that's in my heart. I'm hiding nothing from you, Lord. And the simple reality is I can't hide anything from you. I mean, just imagine Adam and Eve, remember, after the great fall, they hid themselves from God. I mean, how can you hide yourself from God? It's this thing that you cannot do, but in our humanness, that's exactly what we want to do. We want to run away from God. And that's why David, in his great psalm, I think it's Psalm 51, this is where he sins against Bathsheba, and he says, you know, where can I flee from thy presence? He's understanding this simple truth. I go to the depths of hell and you are there. I go to the heights, you are there. And so he cannot flee. And so he comes to this conclusion, Lord, all my desire is before thee. In other words, God, you know everything. God, you see everything. And so it's pointless for me to hide. And, you know, part of the reality of what he's saying as well, if you really catch the nuance, he's basically saying, God, I will not hide because you're merciful. All these things that have happened, I don't need to hide from you because you're my God. You're my master. It's kind of the hidden truth throughout this psalm. My heart throbs, my strength fails me, and the light of my eyes, even that has gone from me. The light of my eyes is an idiom, kind of meaning like your life. You know, there's like brightness in you. It could be like a warm, fuzzy personality or something like that. You know, you see people that have light in their eyes. You see joy. You know, you see life. And he says, even that is gone from him. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague. And so seemingly that there could have been maybe some certain consequences that happen. And so what happens is friends and loved ones, they, you know, the word is aloof, that they're kind of neither here nor there, right? They're not supporting you, they're not condemning you, which can feel like condemnation, you know, especially when you need your friends in that time. And my kinsmen stand afar off. Those who seek my life lay snares for me, and those who seek to injure me have threatened destruction, and it defies treachery all day long. And so we see that part of what's happened is it's kind of opened the door for his adversaries to pounce on him. And so he's recognizing that. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear. I'm like a dumb man who does not open his mouth. Yes, I'm like a man who does not hear and whose mouth are no arguments. It's a very, very poetic way of saying I have nothing to defend myself with. In this way. And then here's kind of the turning point in verse 15. For I hope in thee, O Lord. In the midst of all of his troubles, in the midst of his sin, in the midst of all these things, there's a turning point in his heart. And he says, well, God, the only thing I can do is I can hope in you. And he uses, in this passage, he uses the Lord in really, it's in a trifecta. So he says, you know, O Lord, for I hope in thee, O Lord, and he uses the term Yahweh. This is a covenant name of God. So he's reminding God of his covenant that he's made with the people of Israel. He is a member of the people of Israel. And so he's referring to the covenant God, and then he turns and he says, thou will answer, O Lord. Now it's going back to the Adonai, which is the master. Lord, you're my master. And then my God, which is the term Elohim, which is the plural sense of God. This is what they normally would say when we see the word God. It's actually the word Elohim. And so he's in this place and he's totally given himself. He's saying, you are you are Yahweh, you're my covenant God, you made covenant with me, this covenant will never be broken, you're also my master, I choose to be your servant. You know, we talked about this on Sunday, the doulos, I choose to be the doulos, you are my master, you have control over my life, I don't have control, and you are my God, the generic term of Elohim. And so he's using all these, and it's kind of a reminder to God, but more so a reminder to himself. He's my covenant God. He's made covenant. That covenant will never be broken. He's also my master. So I submit myself before my master, and you are my God. You are the one. I'm not in this way. And he actually closes the psalm with that same trifecta in work and in operation. And he turns in, and this is the beauty of this psalm. Even in the midst of his own sin, like he did this, he caused this. It was his folly, he says, but he says, Lord, I hope in you. I can still trust in you. I know that all these things are happening to me. Yes, I deserve this, but Lord, I trust in you. You are the covenant God. You are my master. You will take care of your servants. And so I hope in you. You will answer, O Lord, my God. And that's a pretty, pretty bold statement if you think about it. You know, and we don't know what David did, but he probably did something really bad. But even in this, in the midst of that, he says, but Lord, you will still answer me because you are my God and I'm your servant. And you can see this, like, there's such a confidence in David, right? That even if he sins, and we should all, brothers and sisters, we should also walk in this confidence. Even when we make mistakes, we can turn to this God who will have mercy on us. We can turn to this God who's our covenant God, who's our master, who is just God himself, Elohim, and we can turn to him. And we can pray, and he'll answer us. He does not forsake us when we do something wrong. That's not who God is. You know, he is our ever-present help in our time of need. You know, if we confess our sins, right, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so he's saying to the Lord, Lord, even though I messed up, even though I did all these things, Lord, you will answer me because you're Lord, because you're my covenant God. That's who you are. And why do you need to answer? Because it says 16, for I said, may they not rejoice over me, who when my foot slips would magnify themselves against me. For I'm ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I confess my iniquity. This is a key, brothers and sisters. I confess to you. I've sought after you. I've sought for your forgiveness. I'm full of anxiety because of my sin. So this is right. In other words, like it's not a empty confession. He's realizing, oh my goodness, I hurt you, God. I hurt other people. There's a depth to his repentance before the Lord. And so he's offering that up. But then he says, but Lord, my enemies, they're going a little overboard here. My enemies are vigorous and strong. And many are those who hate me wrongfully. And those who repay evil for good, they oppose me because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, do not be far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord of my salvation. And so he comes back to the Father. He comes back to the Lord. Yeah, he messed up, but he repents before God. And the enemies have taken advantage of his folly, but now they're going way overboard. And so David's saying, Lord, be mindful of them. Do not let them triumph over me in that way. And so let's close our eyes. The reality, brothers and sisters, is that we're all going to sin. Every one of us. It's not so much that we sin. That's an inevitability. That's why God sent his son Christ to die for our sins. But the task or the challenge is what we do after we sin. This is a psalm, really, about what you should do after you sin. As weird as that may sound, it's a song about running back to the Lord. It's a song about a penitence that says, Lord, I deserve everything I'm getting right now, but Lord, will you have mercy on me? I confess my sins to you. I've wronged you, God. But now my enemies are a little overboard. It's the power of confession. It's the power of repentance. And really the power of God's hand as He takes those who are sorrowful. He teaches us through that. Remember, the Bible tells us, Proverbs says, a righteous man falls 7 times, yet rises again. It's not the falling, obviously, that makes you righteous. You know what makes you righteous? Is getting up. This is a psalm about getting up. You've messed up. You've done something. Now it's time to get up. And you get up first by repenting, by being sorrowful of what you've done. And that just opens the door for the Lord, covenant God, Adonai, Master, and Elohim to come and help us. And His help is not far away. You're not abandoned because of sin. You are loved through it.
I have not much to offer you, not near what you deserve, but still I come because your cross has placed in me my worth. O Christ, my King of sympathy, whose roots secure my peace. Your grace extends to call me friend, your mercy sets me free. And I know I'm weak, I know I'm unworthy to call upon your name, but because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here unashamed. I can't explain this kind of love. I'm humbled and amazed that you'd come down from heaven's heights and greet me face to face. And I know I'm weak, I know I'm unworthy to call upon your name, but your feet in my brokenness complete. Here I am. upon your name, but because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here unashamed. But because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here unashamed.
Amen. What beautiful words. Because of his grace, because of his mercy, no matter what we've done, we can stand unashamed before the Lord our God. He's paid every debt for us on the cross. Every sin that we can ever imagine, what you've done, what you've thought about, what you will do, has all been paid for us at the cross. As Paul writes in Colossians, he's canceled that debt. And so it's fitting this morning to give thanks to the Lord, to thank Christ for the cross, to thank God for sending his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He is the ransom. And because of that, we can be free. Regardless of what we've done, when we confess, when we repent, we can be free. What an incredible truth that we have access to. So let's give thanks to the Lord. And maybe we do need to repent for something this week. Let's take it before the Lord and find hope and healing and rest for your souls. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies and surgeries. So let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our friends and family that are going through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Thank you. Let's pray for our community that are dealing with non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for the community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia. Let's pray for Jungmin and Hyunjin, SP Tokyo. I know they've had a slow start there. Let's just ask God to just continue to watch over them, just to have His hands upon them. Pray for deep unity among our leaders there. Let's pray for India. Let's pray for Kelly. Let's really lift her up, and let's pray for our Hong Kong missionaries as well here. Let's pray for Angela. Let's pray for Oasis House, Pastor Jenny. Let's ask God's hand. Missions Council. Let's ask for our members to continue to grow, to really lead our church and our missional endeavors. Let's lift up. Let's pray over our local outreach, our Agape Homi Freedom Bridge Recreation SP Lights, and let's pray for God's hand. I know some of the ministries are a little slow starting, but let's just really pray that they will gather steam and momentum, and we will continue to carry out God's work. Let's pray for SP Fam. Let's just ask God to continue to bless our kids, our foster and adoption ministries, and the babies that we are in care for now. Let's just lift them up. Thank you. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight, our intercessory prayer team, our SPU college, our youth group, growing in Christ class. And let's pray for the Holy Spirit to really minister to our young people, as well as empower our prayer warriors and our disciples. And let's lift up. Pregnant women, Kathleen, Eunice, Eileen, Jade, and others. Let's pray for healthy babies. Pray for healthy moms. Let's pray the families would prepare for a baby coming into their world, and God would just really cover them right now. For house churches meeting tonight, the Elements, Go, McCain, McRobinson, McDaddy, Westside. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead our hosts, our leaders, and that the conversations would be pleasing to the Lord and building up of one another. Lastly, let's just lift up our city. Let's pray for God's Spirit to continue to hover over our city. Let's pray for revival. Let's ask God's hand to come and really minister to the people. Thank you this morning. Thank you, God, that even in the midst of our folly, Lord, you are still faithful, God. Lord, that even while we were yet sinners, Christ, you died for us. Lord, you didn't wait for us to be holy, because we can't do that on our own. Lord, we can only have holiness imputed to us, God, through you. And so we thank you. Thank you, God, that we can always turn to you no matter what. And you always hear us, God, because you're a faithful Father. We love you, Lord. Just watch over us, God. Help us to walk in reflection and repentance, God. We thank you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you over the weekend.